You're about to listen to a sermon from New City Church of LA. If you'd like more information about New City Church or to download more free audio or video sermons, please visit us on the web at www.newcitychurchla.com. And now from downtown LA, here's this week's sermon.
Happy anniversary once again. We're in the middle of a series, Vision 2020, Deeper Roots, Broader Reach, about the new five-year vision of New City Church. Last Sunday, I shared the story of how the leadership of New City discerned the guidance of the Holy Spirit regarding the vision for the next 5 years. And particularly, we talked about what it means to put down deeper roots here in downtown. The sermon is available on our website, and if you've not heard it, I want to encourage you to do so. It's a very important sermon for the church. Today, I'm going to share a little bit more about broader reach portion of the vision, about parish planting. The overall vision and the mission of New City is and will continue to be this, to be an inclusive gospel-centered community of lovers of Jesus Christ who connect people to God, grow together, serve the city, and extend God's kingdom. This has been at the heart of what's been driving New City for the last 8 years. I want to share a little excerpt that I shared on September 14, 2008, the day of our grand opening of New City Church, about what it means to be inclusive, as we were talking about our vision statement at that time. To be inclusive means to be a come-as-you-are church, where blacks, whites, Latinos, Asians can come as we are, where loft dwellers and Skid Row residents can come as we are, where gays and straights can come as we are, and where people who are religious and irreligious can come as we are, not because of our common affinity, but because of our common brokenness and need for redemption. To be an inclusive church means that we're not a church that pretends. It's a place where you can come and be real. It's a place where we can drop our masks, not because everyone is okay, you're okay, I'm okay, but because we're all messed up together, because none of us is okay. We're all broken. Even if we look like we're all put together, we are as messed up inside as the next guy who looks like he's struggling. When we get to the depth of our hearts, there is darkness in every one of us. There is emptiness in us. We are broken, but we also come to the realization that God loves us more than we can ever imagine. God loves us unconditionally. He accepts us unconditionally through Jesus Christ. This is the bond that holds us. It is our common brokenness and common acceptance by God despite our brokenness. It is the gospel of grace. And that's why we're not just an inclusive church. We are an inclusive, gospel-centered community. Amen? I know that if you've been here at New City for at least a few months, you heard me say something like this many times. Well, we've been saying it from the very beginning, and we will continue to say it into the future. The leadership has been praying and communally discerning a new five-year vision of New City. After about a year of discernment, we believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken. Here is the vision 2020, a new five-year vision of New City. Deeper roots, broader reach. Putting down deep roots in downtown parish and reaching LA by planting 3 to 5 parishes in the next 5 years. Last Sunday, we talked about the deeper root portion. We talked about deepening our spiritual formation and discipleship, especially through mentoring relationships, deepening our community engagement, mercy and social justice through hiring a pastor of community engagement. We talked about deepening our culture of care through participation in the life of the community, especially our grow and serve groups. And we talked about deepening our posture toward the church by being owners of the church instead of consumers of the church. And today we're going to talk a little bit more about the vision of broader reach, planting 3 to 5 parishes within the next 5 years. I also want to invite you to the town hall meeting today at 1:15 p.m. in the church office. We're going to answer any questions you might have about the vision. There's also a page in our website about Vision 2020 that has answers to a lot of FAQs that you might have. Here's the goal of today's message. I'm going to try to answer these questions. Why church plant? Why the parish incubator model? Why South San Fernando Valley? And how is this going to happen? And how can I get involved? Okay, that's where we're going. So first of all, why church plant? Some people say we should just grow our church or help existing churches that are struggling. Why plant a new church? Let's read Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. This is the Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is our mission for life. This is our mission statement for life. This is the great commission that Jesus gave us before he ascended. And if you want to know what your life's purpose is, what your life's mission is, here it is. This is the mission that Jesus has given us. And we got to really get this straight. We don't have a relationship with God so that God can help us accomplish our personal goals. Sometimes we add a little spirituality to our lives to get a better life, without really changing the primary orientation of our life. We've not surrendered our life mission to God. I want to ask you, are we coming to God to accomplish our mission, or coming to God to submit to his mission? Now, how do we accomplish his mission? The Great Commission. If you look at the content of the Great Commission in detail, the task is not just to get a decision for Christ. I used to think that the Great Commission was about getting people to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Of course, that is critical, but there is more to it than that. The commission is to baptize, disciple, and teach. And if you look at the book of Acts and other parts of the New Testament, baptism was a way in which people became part of the church. To baptize doesn't just mean to confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ and declare publicly of your faith, although it does mean that, but it also means to be incorporated into a worshiping community of Christ followers. See, once you become part of the church, you grow together in relational discipleship and Bible study. And you see, the New Testament model of implementing the Great Commission was planting local churches which baptized people, made them into disciples, and taught stuff that Jesus taught us. The only place where this happened was the church. So we got to think communally in terms of the Great Commission. So often we think individualistically about the Great Commission, but it's meant to be a communal task of the church. If you look at the history of the church, Jesus was the first church planter. He planted the Jerusalem church by developing a core team. That's how you plant a church. You develop a core group of people who believe in a vision of planting a church. And it's not something that the lead planter does on his or her own. Acts 1-7 describes the founding, the growth, the early challenges of the Jerusalem church. The church was born in prayer, saturated with the Holy Spirit, filled with the miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. There was great intensity in the church. Then the persecution came, and the Jerusalem church was scattered, and they decided to preach the gospel everywhere they went. One of the key cities they went to was Antioch. They planted a church there. It was the first mixed church, the first multi-ethnic church. Listen to the story in Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 26. Let's read this together. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and the great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, amen, hallelujah, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, who's Paul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught a great number of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. You have to realize the radical nature of the Antioch church. All the churches thus far had been Jewish. Yes, Jesus commanded us to go to all the nations, which, by the way, means all the ethnic groups. But it was only after the persecution started that they scattered. And it was only when they got to Antioch that the first Jewish Gentile, Jewish Greek church was planted. You have to remember that the racial tension between Jews and Greeks, Greeks were a common word for Gentile, non-Jews, basically. You have to remember the racial tension between the Jews and Greeks was extremely high. Yet, they came together because they followed Jesus. Gentiles love Jews, and Jews love Gentiles, and they were all worshiping and eating and fellowshipping and praying together as one. I think this must have blown a lot of people away. I mean, this was unprecedented, remarkable, amazing, and miraculous. The Prince of Peace had brought historically estranged people group into one local church. And I think they were trying to figure out, who are these people? And they had no categories, and so they had to create a category called Christians, because Christ came to be recognized as the reason for this unprecedented oneness. I think there's a lot of similarities between the Antioch Church and New City Church. We're both in a very important city of the times. We are multi-ethnic, as they were. We are inclusive, as they obviously were. They were inclusive, gospel-centered community of lovers of Jesus Christ. They broke through centuries of racial division to invite people to the same community in the name of Jesus. I think it was at this community that the gospel was actually practiced. They helped people in need in Judea. They were prophetic and open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It was this church that began the greatest church planting movement of the early church. Let's catch the story in Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. Okay, verse 1, it says this. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. They sent Barnabas and Saul. Saul is Paul, by the way, for the purpose of planting churches in the major cities of the Roman Empire. And that's what they did, setting up the foundation of a movement of church planting that ended up spreading throughout the world. The churches were churches that were planted from this church were radical for their time. They brought Jews and Gentiles together. Remember, This was the first church to do that. And afterwards, you see that Paul and Barnabas went around planting churches that brought Jews and Gentiles together. For the Antioch church, they planted the kind of church that flowed out of who they were. And at New City, we are called to do the same. We're called to set apart some people and send them out to plant churches that bring whites, Asians, Latinos, and blacks together, that bring the poor and the rich together, that bring the old and the young together. The Antioch church took the Great Commission seriously because they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they listened to the Spirit's guidance. In the same way, we believe that the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, and our call is to plant 3 to 5 parishes around Los Angeles in the next 5 years. Our vision is not to just grow as a local church in downtown LA. Like the Antioch church, our vision is to send out key people to plant churches and invest resources in planting churches. Now, let me go one more step and show you why church planting is so important right now. I know some of you are thinking that we have enough churches or that we should invest more into helping existing churches, but I want you to consider this fact. New churches reach unchurched people better than older churches. According to several studies, churches older than 10 years actually take 89 attenders to reach one person. Churches 3 to 10 years take about 7 attenders to reach one person. And churches that are brand new, 0 to 3 years, only take 3 attenders to reach one person for Jesus Christ. Studies have also shown that new churches get most of its members, most of its attenders from the unchurched, 60 to 80 people, while churches that are 10 to 15 years old, if they do grow, they get most of their new people by church transfers, 80 to 90%. You know, that's been the experience at New City as well. A majority of the people who came to New City in the beginning of the church were unchurched before they came. Now, if you put all these data together, now this is what this means, okay? Let me give you an illustration. In City A, let's say there are 100 churches. You see that? In City A, let's say there are 100 churches. All of them are over 15 years old, okay? And there are no new churches planted in that City A. If this is true, even if few of those churches get really hot and start growing, the overall number of Christians will be shrinking in that city. In City B, let's say same 100 churches, but there are 5 churches under 15 years old, okay? The overall number of Christians will stay about the same. In City C, let's say there are 100 churches, but 30 of them are churches under 15 years old. The number of Christians will actually grow by 50% over a generation. Basically, this means that the average new church will bring in 6 to 8 times more new people into the body of Christ than older churches of the same size. And that's why great church strategist Peter Wagner said, planting new churches is the most effective evangelistic methodology known under heaven. Now, it's important to plant churches that are not only new, but also are multi-ethnic, gospel-centered, and engages the neighborhood. Markers of New City's DNA. In an era where so many unchurched people look at church with suspicion, I believe that churches with these 3 strands of DNA might have a better chance of reaching the unchurched. So, the multi-ethnic, multi-socioeconomic churches. So many churches are segregated by class and race. And God has done something here at New City as he did in Antioch. And I believe that God is calling us to plant churches that break down the walls that divide us. This is a critical way to reach unchurched people. People have positive views of Jesus, but often have a very negative view of the church. What if the church started to look more like Jesus? What if we started to include instead of exclude? What if we started to embrace instead of excommunicate? Secondly, I believe we need to plant gospel-centered churches because so many churches have turned to either moralism or relativism. So many churches have lost the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many churches have become relativistic. Relativistic is like, you know, there's no real truth. Everything is relative. That's what relativism means. So many churches have become relativistic in that there's no respect for the authority of the scripture. The gospel is not preached. The messiness of our sin is not preached. And on the other hand, so many churches have turned just moralistic. They just give lip service to the grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. But then their entire spiritual life is just about do's and don'ts and rules, and they turn completely moralistic. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not relativistic nor moralistic. What if there were more churches that preach the full gospel, not only to become a Christian, but to live out our Christian lives? Thirdly, we need to plant more churches that are engaging the community in ministries of mercy and social justice. The reality and clear command of Jesus is that we're called to love our neighbors. And if our neighbors are oppressed by the system, we're called to speak out and do something about it. When our love is blinded by our social location, we have to break that down and go beyond where we are. What if more churches were planted that saw justice for people who are oppressed? You know, that's why I'm so passionate about church planting. I don't just want to see some new churches planted. I want to be a part of movement of planting a new kind of church here in Los Angeles. So that's why we plant. Second question, why the parish incubation model? The parish incubation model is a model of church planting where we incubate a new parish church as part of the mother church, as part of New City, until it is self-sustaining and ready to be spun off as an independent church. This is a means to a church plant, by the way, and not creating appendages for the New City, for our church. This means New City would have a multiple neighborhood parishes that we are incubating, all of which will comprise, during the incubation stage, they will comprise one legal entity with one budget, one leadership, and same vision and core values. And I would serve as the head of staff overseeing the parish pastor, and I would serve also as a lead pastor of downtown and the co-teaching pastor in the parishes. The parish incubation model best capitalizes on the strength of our church to plant new neighborhood churches. You know, we can send people out to plant in a particular neighborhood without endangering our financial health. And if we send out 20 to 50 people to plant an independent neighborhood church, we might endanger our financial health by losing the offerings of these people. However, in a parish incubation model, we have time to absorb the financial impact. And secondly, it's critical to develop a core team of at least 40 to 50 people before the public launch. Having access to the people in the church and the network of relationship of the people in the church make the core group development process much easier. And also, if we know, you know, the reality is that we know how to build an inclusive gospel-centered community, bringing diverse people from different ethnic and socioeconomic groups together by the power of the gospel and demonstrating the gospel in the neighborhood. We can take what we have done in downtown and replicate it in other intersection neighborhoods as well. And here's the reality. Here's the last reason why the parish incubator model is good. Planting a parish is significantly cheaper than planting an independent church. And church planting experts say that it has a much higher probability of success. Okay, So that's why the parish incubation model. Now, I'm going through this really quick, and if you have some questions, let's talk about it at the town hall meeting. Let me get to the question, why South San Fernando Valley? I shared the story last Sunday about how the Holy Spirit guided us to this neighborhood. When Paul was on his missionary trip, sent by the Antioch Church, he wanted to go into Asia Minor, because he was right at the gate of Asia Minor to plant churches, but the Holy Spirit prevented him. Then he had the vision of the Macedonian man who said, come to Macedonia and help us. When Paul wanted to take the easy route, the obvious route, the Holy Spirit prevented him. When we wanted to go what we thought was easier to plant, the Holy Spirit spoke to us in a powerful way. Don't go where you think is easy. Go where there's need. Very few churches have been planted in the neighborhoods of Encino, Sherman Oaks, Lake Balboa, South Van Nuys over the last 40 years. Yet, over 200,000 people live there. This is a rapidly changing neighborhood and becoming more racially, socioeconomically, and generationally diverse. This is also an intersection neighborhood among different ethnic and socioeconomic groups. Our initial research shows that there are very few multi-ethnic gospel-centered churches here. In other words, they need a new city parish. That's why South San Fernando Valley. Now, how is this going to happen? Here's how it's going to happen. I just want to give you a glimpse of the steps that we need to take. Step one, we're doing right now. We're sharing the vision with the church. Step two is to fundraise, and ultimately, we need to hire a parish pastor. We have someone who has agreed to lead the parish in the San Fernando Valley. Many of you know him. We will announce him later, but we need to raise the resources to actually hire him, but he is ready to go. I'm so excited by that, and I can't wait to introduce him to you. Step three is core group development and engaging the neighborhood. So we got to get out there and bring people together. Our goal is to develop at least 50 core team members before we even launch the church publicly. And then we will enter into a season of a soft launch or preview services. We haven't decided exactly how to do it yet, but that'll be sometime next year in June to August. And then in August 2017, which is the beginning of the school year for LAUSD, we will publicly launch the church in South San Fernando Church. That's how we're going to do it. Now, I want to try to answer the question, how can I get involved in parish planting? If you look inside the program, you will find a pledge card. Can you open it up, please? Can you take it out? Looks like this. There are two sides to it. We want to ask you to look at this. We want to ask you to pray about it, seriously pray about it. Discuss it with your spouse and seek the Lord. I want to ask you to make a decision on how you're going to pledge by October 16, 2016. That would be what we call Vision 2020 Commitment Sunday. And this is really serious. We haven't done this ever in our church, where we're actually asking people to make a commitment, make a pledge towards the vision. So we are asking every single person in a church to enter into a time of discernment and prayer with the Lord regarding this. There are two sides to the pledge cards. If you look at the first card with your name on it, where you can put your name on it, it's about deeper roots. There are four ways you can get involved in deeper roots. Number one, you can pledge to give money. Towards the goal of raising about $2,000 a month for the community engagement pastor. Secondly, you can pledge to pray about being a part of the discipleship and formation mentoring relationship. One of the things that we talked about last week is that we are going to initiate a mentoring a curriculum sometime in the future. And so we want to ask you to pray about actually being in mentoring relationship and discipling relationship with others. Thirdly, to grow. I pledge to participate in the grow and serve groups and care for one another. This is about cultivating a culture of care. And you're saying, I want to be a part of the community that does life together, and I want to learn to care for one another. I want to be a part of cultivating the culture of care. That's what you're pledging there. The last part is that I'm interested in taking the first step towards owning the church by becoming a member. We talked about being an owner of the church rather than consumers of the church, being the church rather than consuming the church last Sunday. And so the first step towards that is to become a member of this body of Christ and take the membership class and enter into a covenant. And so we're going to have a membership class in November. We'll talk to you. We're going to have one today, but because of the town hall, it's going to be in November. And so we'll let you know more about that. You don't have to pledge all of these things, obviously. You can pledge whatever the Lord is leading you to. So it's not just about financial giving, although that is a very important part of it, but there are other ways in which you can be a part of this vision as well. On the other side of the card, you'll see the vision for broader reach. So this is about parish planting. You can pray. You can pledge to pray for the new parish. We need for you to pray. We need the whole entire congregation to pray. In fact, we're going to enter into a season within the next few weeks of asking you to enter into a season of fasting to pray together as a community. Or you can go. You can say, I'm interested in praying about being a part of the parish core team. So I know for some of you, you need to talk. You need to get together with me and the new parish pastor in order to determine whether you're going to be a part. So you want to take that step and really take that seriously. Maybe God is calling some of you to move to the South San Fernando Valley to be a part of this. And so I want you to start thinking about that. Maybe God is actually cheaper down there. Rents are cheaper, okay? So if you that's something to consider. Or you can connect. You can connect people that you know, your friends and family members, to the core team, or maybe later on to the church itself. And so this is about starting to pray for people you know that may live around the San Fernando Valley and asking them to be a part of it, or praying about them and connecting them to the core team. And so you can do that. And lastly, you can give towards the the parish planting. We need to raise $300,000 over 3 years to plant a parish in South San Fernando Valley. Here's a rough budget of what it looks like, okay? So in the first year, our rough cost is expected to be around $180,000. It's partially lower because the personnel costs are slightly lower because the new parish pastor is going to start part-time first and then move on to full-time as we go forward. So expected offering is only about $30,000 from that parish, and so there's a need for $150,000. In the second year, the expenses of operating the parish will be about $200,000 with about $100,000 in offering income, which leaves it with a need of about $100,000. And the third year, about $50,000. So they total up $150,000 to about $300,000. The goal is that by fourth year, they'll be completely self-sustaining financially. We're talking to other churches, foundations and people and asking them to partner with us. So this $300,000 goal is not just for our church inside, but our goal is to raise half of that amount within the church, $150,000. So we need for you to make a pledge towards that amount over 3 years. You can give a one-time gift or make a one-time first fruit gift and make a pledge over a period of time. I know we have people from different socioeconomic backgrounds here at New City, but I believe that this is possible. We're not asking you to give equally. Not all of us are going to give equally, but we are asking you to sacrifice equally. If God has blessed you with more, we are asking you to give more. I want to read a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, which is instructive about how we think about giving. This is what Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church about giving. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And then he said a few verses later in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As you can see, this is something that we all have to get behind in order to make this work. We can all make a pledge towards Vision 2020. As I said, it's not just about money. It's about going. It's about praying. It's about connecting other people to this parish as well. And even with deeper roots, it's not just about money. You can pray about mentoring, participating in grown serve group, and own the church by becoming a member. We want you to invite, we want to invite all of you to consider and seek the Lord very, very seriously and ask him what you should do. Our desire is not for you to give reluctantly or because you feel pressured by us to do so, but because of the grace of God and the heart of God to reach the unchurched leads you to join him in his vision. So October 16th will be our Vision 2020 Commitment Sunday. We want all of you to decide by then and make a pledge by then. So we're going to have a special service that Sunday to dedicate ourselves, make a pledge to God regarding Vision 2020. Let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the first 8 years of New City Church. And now, Lord, as we heed your call to go deeper and broader, we pray that your Spirit will continue to anoint this church and move this church, guide this church, oh Lord. And Lord, you have given us a vision that takes all of us to accomplish. It's not something that just a few people in the church could accomplish, but we all have to get behind it, oh Lord. So Lord, we pray that your Spirit will guide each and every one of us to make a commitment to pledge whatever it is that you're calling us to pledge. If it's financial, help us to make sacrifices in our lives to be a part of the kingdom movement of planting churches and making the Great Commission happen, oh Lord. help us to sacrifice. Even if we don't have much, help us to sacrifice. If we do have much, help us to sacrifice. Whatever it takes to make the mission, the great commission of God, a major part of what we live for, O Lord. Not just a major part, the thing that we live for, O Lord. Lord, guide us by your Spirit, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
That concludes this week's sermon from New City Church of LA. Remember, if you would like more, you can visit www.newcitychurchla.com to download both audio and video sermons at no cost. A sermon is posted every week. Thank you for listening.